you find in a dictionary these days. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to a couple openings. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 20, or chapter 12, verse 25, the New King James Version. And we're going to look at also the another version as well. We'll look at common English in that, in Psalm 42:11. And last time we talked about how do we respond, to disappointments. I don't know if that was Wednesday. We talked about how to respond to disappointments. I guess last Sunday we talked about your best days are ahead of you. You haven't lived your best day yet. And if you lived your best day, it's a sad world. You know, it's all downhill from here. But if you believe God, that God is good, your best days are ahead of you. You might have had some hard times, but your best days are ahead. So we talked about how to cope with disappointments last Wednesday. If you didn't get the message, I would suggest you go and look at the message. Go to RomaFisher.tv, and you'll find me there. There's no RomaFisher.tv. there's looking for Roma Media, Roma Fisher Media. There's something. So today, or this morning, we're going to talk about how to cope with depression. Since you're depressed this morning, I thought I'd change my message. I know you love winter so much. You're sad that it's green outside. And just kidding. Let's go. Praise God. Amen. How to deal with depression? How do you deal with depression? Let's go over to Proverbs 12:25. New King James says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." A supporting scripture I'd like to use in this session is Psalm 42:11. The psalmist David is talking to himself, and I suggest you, if you're having a depression, you need to talk to yourself a little bit. You know, something good. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" How many people understand your soul encompasses a number of things in your faculties? Your soul actually is your mind. Your soul is your mind. Like if you die today, you'll still remember today. 1,000 years, you'll remember this. I don't think you lose your memory when you're in the spirit. So your mind is your soul, or your mind is your mind. Your soul is a part of your mind. It says, you know, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to his mind. He's talking to his feelings. So your soul is your feeling. Everybody say, "My soul is part of my mind." Say, "It's part of my feelings and emotions." You know, we use the word feelings. Feelings really has to do with physical body, the physical body, because feelings have to do with appetites, physical appetites. You might want to eat something. You might want to lust after something. That's physical appetites. So feeling is not a good word for that because it's associated with the physiology of man. When you say emotions, you're talking about, you know, different things like depression or hate or anger. Those are emotional things. So David is talking about to his soul. He's talking to his mind. He's talking to his emotions. He says, "Why are you cast down?" Cast down refers to being depressed. Cast down or down low. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Then he begins to give some answers for himself. He says, hope in God, for I yet shall praise him. In other words, one day I'm going to praise again. I'm going to feel good again. How many people know your depression is not going to be forever? So don't do anything bad. Don't make any bad decisions. He said, the help of my countenance, my God. The Common English Bible of Psalm 42:11 says, why am I discouraged? Why am I restless? I trust in you, Lord. I will praise you again because you have helped me and you're my God. As an introduction, I want to say if you ever have felt down in life from time to time, it's because it's a normal part of life to sometimes to get down a little bit. I'm talking about your normal humanness. I'm not talking about your spiritual. You could be down spiritually as well, but human beings, people who are human. Anybody, any humans here? Are you always up? You know, so there's some things here that we need to talk about. So, but if you experience ongoing sense of hopelessness and feelings of disparity that doesn't go away, it's prolonged, then maybe you're suffering some kind of, let's say, clinical depression. People who suffer from depression have a hard time functioning in life. If you're depressed, it's hard to function. It's hard to enjoy life. Getting through the day can be overwhelming for people who suffer depression. Just getting through the day. Just regular, everyday things. You see some people, sometimes they don't comb their hair. I'm going to have to ask you next time I see your hair all up like that. They said, no, I just had this done at the salon. Sorry about that. You look like a scarecrow. Amen. All right. Enough of that. So people who suffer from depression have a hard time functioning every day. They go through just, everyday life. It's a major thing to go through just a day. No matter how hopeless you feel right now, if you're depressed, you will get better. You can get better. There's hope in God. So, by understanding the causes of depression, recognizing its various symptoms and this different types of depression, you can take the first step to help to a healthier life, and you can overcome depression. Understanding depression makes it easier for you to cope with life. Very often, when you're depressed, it causes you to feel so low that you can't get up emotionally, that you can't do things physically, normal physical things. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 25, the psalmist said, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. That's saying the same thing as our text said. Your soul is so low, it's so low to the ground. You're so low emotionally. You're right down. But you know, one word from God can change you, can change your life. The word of God is faith food. Many people today are seeking answers elsewhere instead of God or in the Bible for their answers, such as, different things we can mention. But Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart, the heart of man, causes depression. So we can see that getting uptight about things and being stressed out about life and bills and problems and different things, can cause you weariness, and you can get down because, you just had a paycheck and now you don't have any money. Long ways for 2 weeks. Or if you get paid once a month, that's a long month. Right? Can be very, very tough. But if somebody says, hey, don't worry about it, paycheck is coming in another 2 weeks. Oh, okay. That's good. You get glad. What is depression anyway? Proverbs 18:14 says, the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? Sometimes people are so down in their soul. You know, you have to understand, sometimes, you know, sometimes people interchange the soul and the spirit. They say the soul and spirit are the same. Sometimes the word spirit should be translated soul in the Bible. And oftentimes you can tell by the context of how it's written, because you don't really need a concordance. You just have to read what's before and after it and study the actual scripture, the content of the scripture, and find out what he's talking about. A lot of times people, you know, don't differentiate between the spirit and the soul. They think it's the same thing. Say, for instance, somebody told my wife at Bible school the other day, they said, I thought the spirit was the same as the soul. It's not. And you have something to do with changing the context of your soul. And so you can do something about depression. We're going to study a little bit about it. First of all, depression is a soul problem. It has to do with the conditions of your mind or your mentality. Our minds are a part of our soul, as we mentioned. We experience, in the soul, we experience consciousness or awareness, emotions, intellect, will, decision-making processes. Our minds can affect us physically, or our mentality can affect us. How you feel. If, say, for instance, if you went to the gym and you didn't want to go there, you didn't talk yourself into, you didn't psych yourself to go to the gym, you'll just have a bad workout. But if you make an adjustment in your mind, you'll find out how much more power you have in your workouts. You ever see, weightlifters in the Olympics? How many weightlifters we have here? Oh, you're all weightlifters. Okay, so depression is a common thing and can be debilitating, can be great, affect your mood. That's my Ojibwe-ness. Has to come out. The long-lack slang can't come out of me as smoothly as some of you with the English. It can be more than just... Depression can be more than just sadness in response to life's struggles and setbacks. Depression can change how you think, how you feel about life, and how you function every day. If you're depressed, you can just walk around with a chip on your shoulder, blaming everybody else about your situation. It can interfere with your ability to study, work, eat, sleep, enjoy life, the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness and worthlessness can be intense and unrelenting with little or if any relief when you're suffering depression. Because depression can cause other emotions and other things to happen in your whole system. Your body affects your body. I mean, you can get upset stomach. You can have sore bones, body. Your body starts to get ache, have different aches and pains. I mean, the Bible answers a lot of this stuff. You can't eat, can't sleep. Well, some people describe depression as living in a black hole. I can vote for that. I can tell you about the black hole. I've been there. Once I've been out of it, I didn't go back in there. I ran from it. I knew how to prevent myself. I didn't know I was depressed. Some of you probably don't know you're depressed. In fact, as I studied this again, I recognized I was depressed this winter a lot. Came back and forth. I fought it off different times. Lucky I'm a good fighter. I know kung fu, spiritual kung fu. Hi-ya! Yeah, thanks. Okay. People who suffer or can describe it as being living in a black hole or having a feeling of impending doom. Wake up and, oh man, what a day. Oh, I gotta go to work today. Man, you should say, hey, I get to go to work today. I get to see my favorite people. Hey, I get to have coffee with the people I love. I get to have food with Pastor Ken, although he hasn't taken me for coffee for a long time. He brings me coffee from the hospital here. I mean, or the hospital over here. Now, we have good coffee breaks. Now, they feel doomsday, some. Sounds like a praying in tongues here. Anyway, sometimes you feel lifeless. Life feels like there's no life in my life. Emptiness, apathetic, feeling of apathetic. Men in particular, when suffering depression, become restless. Sometimes men can become violent become mean when they're depressed. It says that in the reports, studying this. No matter how you experience depression, if you leave it untreated, it can become a serious health condition overall. But it's important to remember that feelings of helplessness and hopelessness are just symptoms of depression. It's not the reality. It's not, the world is not going to end. There is life. It's not dark. God is still here. So if someone's in depression, it's very hard. You have to coach them along and help them. And, you should never override their feelings and say, no, you're not feeling that. Come on now, smarten up. You have to be able to listen to people when they're going through stuff like that. And don't minimize what they're feeling. Just say you accept it. Don't try to Christianize people and when you speak Christianese, praise the Lord anyway. Well, listen to that person. That's a real live person talking to you. They're experiencing some pain. They're going through some struggle. And they haven't gotten there where you are yet. Thank God they'll be there if you just help them along. Sometimes we don't, we try to, give people a quick answer of scripture and we don't minister to them. It's about loving people, taking care of people, showing them your support and giving them some emotional, strength. We share our strength and hope, right? Give people your strength and give them the hope that you've had. So these are just symptoms. There are plenty of powerful self-help things you can do to lift yourself out of your mood situation, your negativity, and overcome depression and regain life and get back into joy. Psychologist tells us that many people suffer all sorts of depression from one time or another, from very mild form of depression to very intense depression. I don't know where you are in that range, but somewhere along the place you can all, experience that or see yourself. In the Bible, there's many characters in the Bible who suffered from depression. When you study the Bible, there's different ones there that have suffered that and characters. Somebody like Abraham, Jonah, that guy who jumped in a well, or he was eaten up by a well, swallowed up by a well. Well, he was in a dark tunnel for a while. Well, Abraham didn't have children. I would have been so happy, were you? Some of your parents, when you're going through a hard time with your children, say, I wish I didn't have any children. But when you see somebody else enjoying their children, I wish I had children. Eh? And then when they're doing something, you want to kill them? Send them to heaven? You know? So, you know, you feel that. Some of you, you recognize that. You've been there, you know? But you feel that way. Elijah, Job suffered depression. Job, you remember Job in the Bible? Well, he had reason to suffer depression. Man, he lost a lot of stuff. He lost his whole business, lost all his animals, all his contents of his resources and everything else, lost his house, lost his children. Then he got sick physically. He got so full of sores and boils and stuff like that. I don't know. He just had a hard time. He went so down. Depression. He was very, very low. And they tried to get him to curse God, but he wouldn't. Blame God. Anybody ever blame God? Some of you blame God for all your troubles. But there's another God that's been doing all that. It's a God of this world. He's called the devil. And he's creating a lot of things in this world where he can run around and do stuff until one day he won't be able to do that. Jesus is coming and is going to kick him out of here, and he's never going to have that kind of free reign anymore. Yeah? Everybody say, yeah. Yeah. Come on, say, yeah. Yeah. Come on, one more time, yeah. Yeah. See, that's what we need. You know, ever notice that if you go to church, you know, everything's up. Everybody singing to a frenzy, yeah. You know, by the time the word comes along, you're just nice and full of the melodies of the heaven, and you're sitting there listening to the word. And then when the preaching comes on, you know, a strong preacher comes on, you go, yeah, yeah, man, the devil this, the devil that, yeah. Right? Stick out your chest and everything else. And, you know, you have a kind of a swagger when you walk, you know. But as soon as you leave church, you go down the stairs and get in your car, then the devil shows up and you go, you know. Because the devil is so small when you're in church, but when you get out of church, he's like, ooh, he's big. That's just a joke. Come on, guys. But anyway, King Saul, he suffered depression. And you didn't want to be near him when he was in a depressed mood. He'll kill you. As David, you know, depression, they say depression kills, yeah, but don't be near somebody who's depressed. You don't like to be anybody near someone who's depressed. You know, right? You like being somebody near somebody who's depressed all day long? Just hard to deal with, hard to live with? You say, come on, man, get a life. I mean, we're talking about just everyday normal depression. I'm not talking about somebody who's like clinically depressed and they need some medication and heavy-duty counseling. You need that for a time, but clinical counseling doesn't, you don't do that forever. And you don't take pills forever for depression, I don't think. You shouldn't. Right? You take gas pills. Take the gas pill. Okay. David suffered depression. They all survived. Notice they all survived and came out of depression. Their solutions are our solutions too. God helped them, and God will help us too. Here's David, Psalm 38, and verse 6 and 8. He says, David said, I am troubled and I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are full of inflammation. That sounds pretty dangerous. Sounds like you went to a Mexican restaurant. It's just as hot as you know where. Yeah. Everywhere is hot. My loins are full of inflammation. And there's no soundness in my flesh. That sounds real horrible. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart. Now you see here, it causes a lot of things, not just your emotional well-being, but physically as well. Depression can cause a lot of issues. He had a bad stomach. His bones, his body was aching. I don't know, but they tell me that if someone's really depressed, their bones, they get aching. You just have no energy. It's hard to fight off sickness that comes around. When you're depressed, you're low, it's hard to fight off these things. You know, it's not just, don't put all your faith in one thing. I know people just put all their faith in just medicine, or put all their faith in diet, put all their faith in exercise. Exercise is going to cure everything. It's not going to cure everything. It's going to cure some things. Diet is going to help. So, you know, some of you really knew what happened to yourselves when you went through stuff. We can all talk about what we went through. King Saul's experience of depression after a major setback here, when he disobeyed God. How many people know if you walk out of the things of God and you went on your own, you're going to suffer some depression? You're going to go real low. And you know better. And sometimes you want to come back to God, but you can't. Because you don't have enough strength to come back. Somebody has to pray you back, or you got to find a way back somehow, some way down the way. You know, like some people say, well, I can just kind of mess around just a little bit here, you know, I'll do this. No, listen to me. I've seen people in this church in my time who decided to leave church, and they can't come back to church. They'll come to church for a while, but the taste of church is not the same. They can't just make it. They can't just fall into it like they used to. And it takes more effort for them to stay here than to just go back out there and have a quick fix into something they used to live, they had out there. So it doesn't, you know, the devil will draw you. Like Frank said, the devil was drawing him back out there. But he had his mind fixed on it. I'm not going back. No matter how hard it gets, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. You got to be able to say that. Like if you don't do it, no one's going to do it for you. God's not going to do it for you. If you're waiting for God to do something for you, make you feel better, force you out of bed, it's not going to happen. You got to be willing to do something. Get out of bed. Wash your hair. Eat some food. You say, I'm not hungry. Well, eat by faith. Eat by faith. And so you have to do all these things by faith. It's not all, you know, if you wait for a special time to a great feeling come on you. No, you got to be able to get out and do something. So King Saul, he was stricken with guilt and shame after losing his place in God's kingdom. The way he dealt with it was not good. He resorted to anger and resentment and even to violence. Very often men become reckless and become abusive and become violent when experiencing depression. Let's go look at this very quickly. 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 23, the New King James Version says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. This is after he disobeyed God. He lost his place. He lost his anointing because he was trying to do things his own way. You know, when you try to magnify yourself, you're going to end up depressed. Magnifying your problems, you know, you're so special. Even God can't help you. You know, so the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. This is 1 Samuel 16, 14. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. It says here that God sent an evil spirit to him. But that's not the correct translation. God doesn't have any evil spirits. And he doesn't use the devil to afflict you. In the King James Version, it gives you the misunderstanding that the Lord is sending an evil spirit. He don't send no evil spirits. He doesn't work with the devil. He doesn't have any contracts with the devil and hires them and says to affect you. That's not how it is. So it should read that the Lord allowed the devil to torment him. The Lord had to allow the devil to do what he did because God's hands were tied, because when he stepped out of the protection umbrella of God, he was in a place, no man's land, so to speak. He was in a place where the devil can afflict him and get to him. If you get out of the things of God and went on your own, the devil has every right to attack you financially, materially, mentally, emotionally, physically, and you can be attacked. When you get out of the things of God and just decide you can do things on your own. And God can't do anything for you unless you come back to Him. So here, it troubled Saul, and Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from the Lord, from God, is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he play with his hand, and when a distressing spirit from God is upon him, and you shall be well." How many people know that praise and worship has a lot to do, music has a lot to do with your life? You know, I know you can't listen to praise and worship all day long and worship God all day long, but you can listen to a happy song once in a while. Be careful what you listen to. Don't listen to Hank Williams all day long. Get some Tanya Tucker. Is that right? Who's Tanya Tucker? She lives down the street. Anyway. "It shall be when you play with his hand, the distressing spirit from God is upon him, you shall be well." So Saul said to his servant, "Provide now me a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. The Lord is with him." Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And it was so, whenever the Spirit of God from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So you see, you know, he was having a hard time. He needed some help. You know, we all need help when you're having a hard time. You know, you need friends. Everybody needs friends. Go for a drive and listen to some music. Rock out. Rock out in Jesus, I mean. Don't go to ADDBCDC. I just, have a little bit stuttering once in a while. Depression is not just a result of chemical imbalance in the brain. It can be with a simple cure of medication. It's caused by a combination of biological, psychological, and social factors. In other words, your lifestyle choices and relationships and coping skills have much to do with your being depressed. I don't know what your coping skills are. When I first learned about depression, I had to learn coping skills. I had to decipher from the Bible how to do stuff. I didn't know having a nice warm bath will help me make me feel good. Or, you know, some chicken. Not too much of it. Eating food, my dad used to tell me, "Son, eat some food." And when I ate food, I felt better. How many people know, if you're having a bad time, somebody takes you out for dinner, man, this everything changes. Right? I mean, not only just a free meal, but it does something in your chemistry. Like, it just changes. Your whole life becomes different, and you say, "I'm a new man." Yeah, man. You know, I was going to, rob a bank, but I decided I'm not going to rob a bank now. I just feel so wonderful. I want to start giving people money. And you feel a whole lot better. Depression, as I say, the psalmist said, it's like being in a horrible pit with no way out. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2 again. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard me cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit. You know, that black hole. Out of the miry clay. What's the miry clay? It's like, you know, that clay that you can't, it's so muddy, you can't, every time you try to walk and do something, you just keep slipping. I don't know if anybody experienced, you know, muddy clay. You know, you can't walk. You slip and fall. So, you know, I've seen these girls, they run through some mud every year. I've seen them try to do stuff, and it's hilarious. I don't know why you would do that. You could injure yourself. But anyway, you know, walking is so unstable, you can't do very much. So you're stuck in that clay, and you can't do nothing. Like, it's like depression has got you bound. You can't do anything. That's what it feels like. You're in that pit, that horrible pit. So depression is like that horrible pit. Miry clay is like something you can't shake. You can't shake it off. Just like, I'm going to shake this off. I'm not going to be depressed anymore. And yet, it's still there. It doesn't go away very much. Elijah experienced the same thing, even after victory. Sometimes when people experience some great, great experiences in life, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything goes down. I don't know. I've experienced a time where everything in my life was going good. My bank account was healthy. I got money in the bank. I can go do anything. I can fly to New York and just go walk around for a day and come back home and just do whatever I want to do. I felt fine. Everything's good. I'm healthy. I'm not on medications. I don't have to have any special counseling. I don't need special prayer. My kids are all doing good. They're all graduating. They're obeying me, and my wife is obeying me. I mean, everything's fine. Everything's good. Man, I'm just on top of the world. What more can I have? I look out in my backyard, in my kingdom, and I feel fine. You ever notice that? I mean, you look at your kingdom. I know your kingdom. You can see the hospital behind your kingdom. They say, boy, I'm glad I'm not at that hospital. I've been in there several times to visit people, but I'm not going in there yet. No. So, you know, it's funny. You could be on top of the world, and all of a sudden, just one thing happened to you. Maybe it's a major thing happened to you, and all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself down in the miry clay. Just like that. I can tell you things where I was so on top, and I thought nothing could ever shake me. And here I found myself depressed. And I found myself in a very depressed mood. I'm just going through the emotion in life. Nothing excites me. Food doesn't excite me. Nothing excites me. I remember this time, you know, you've all experienced that. You can't wait to get home. You can't wait till it's morning. You can't wait till it's night now. You want to go home. You got no, you know, you just no energy to do anything. You're just so depressed. And I remember when I went through a depression. I mean, life, you know, as a pastor, you know, I'm doing good. I'm supposed to be doing good. I should never suffer depression, but I had suffered depression. Life didn't seem good. I mean, I had meaning in my life, and I know God loves me. I know different things happen, you know. I could think of a lot of things to be grateful for, but I just got into this mood where this mild kind of depression was staying with me. I just couldn't shake it day after day, month after month. What's going on? Well, you know, if you just push things down in your spirit, push things down and don't deal with them, they'll tend to build up in you. And kind of hang in there and try to pull you down, and sometimes you don't even realize you're depressed. Things don't get excited. You know, you're not excited to go to church. You're not excited to sing songs. All your favorite things become mundane. And so I went through a hard time that way. And And I didn't really realize I didn't take it that seriously. And so the things that I enjoyed, I wasn't enjoying anymore. So I had to begin to figure this out. The Bible says over here in 1 Kings 19, 1 and 9, that this Elijah, I'm going to just tell you the story a little bit. Elijah, after a great victory he had, the Bible said he went through a depression. You know, he went through a hard time, and he felt that he wanted to die. Even though God was with him, God gave him a great ministry. God was showing him things and doing different things, and yet he had a hard time, and he said, I want to die. You know, he has fear in his life. You know, depression can cause you to fear things. Somebody said, you know, when you're depressed, it can cause many people to be fearful. I heard a great man of God say that. And things that didn't scare you before, all of a sudden you're afraid of it. And so, you know, this man, Elijah, he wanted to die. And then he began to have this emotional low, so low that he said, I'm no better than my ancestors. He didn't want to eat. He lost his appetite. And God had to send a special messenger from heaven to speak to him and eat something twice. And then God had to ask him some questions. You know, we need help, you know, from the Lord when we're going through tough times. And every one of these people that I saw in the Bible who suffered from depression, they didn't go on medication. They didn't have long clinical work done on them, on their lives, for year after year after year. People who are depressed tend to have negative view of life after that. So what are some of the risk factors of becoming depressed? First of all, being lonely and isolating yourself, you can become depressed. You're spending too much time by yourself. You need to get out. Lack of social support. You don't have a support system. If something falls, if you fall in life, who's going to help you? You need to build a social network to help yourself. If you suffered stressful experiences in life, like these men have talked about, if you had a business who failed or something that happened, a marriage who failed, you can experience depression. Some say there's a family history of depression in your life. It's just kind of, you know, listen to me. Depression, they can't tell. Like when you have somebody says, you know, you could be having you're in a manic depressive state. I forget what else they call it, manic depressive state. They call it something else today. What is that called? Bipolar, that's what they call it today. It's like having a lot of highs and lows, mostly lows. They're always, they're always trying to do something. They're just, you know, just really bad, up and down. But, you know, you can get healed. You can be free from that. You can get out of that. You can live a normal life. What they say, well, how do you get the bipolar disease? Is that like a virus? You can catch that? No, it's not a virus. Some people that tend to get the bipolar, they get a lot of, they're happy one day, next day they're really down. There's no natural order. There's just normalcy in their lives. They don't know what it is. They can't tell you what it is. There's no doctor going to say, well, this is it right here, and this medication is going, or this form of therapy is going to help you. No, they're going to try all kinds of stuff because they don't know. You know, we have spiritual answers. Thank God we've got spiritual answers that can help us. And I'm out of time. I can't continue on this. Let me just finish this. Marital or relationship problems. That's a whole lot of you. Relationship problems. Talk about relationship problems. Everybody's got one. I got a bad problem with my dog. We have a relationship problem. He pees everywhere. Last day, he peed on my bed last night. We had to wash the bed. He doesn't like to be in his cage. Now we're putting him in his cage because, he wants to. He's the boss in the house. My wife sleeps with that dog. I lost my wife because of him. Relationship issues. He's so cute. Financial strain. Early childhood trauma and abuse. You might have had it. I want to tell you something. I suffered with depression. The people don't understand this. Children can experience depression. Little children can experience depression. I was depressed for years. I was an expert in it, of just being depressed. Just depressed all the time, man. I mean, I look at my picture when I was 13, 14. I look at kids over here. I look at their faces. Man, they're so bright. I look at my pictures as when I was a teenager. When I went to start going to high school, I was so depressed. I look at my picture today. I can show you a picture, put it on there. And he said, that's depression right there. You should put my picture. I should show you my picture. If you put the, he said, we could use that for a dictionary, what it looks like. I was so depressed. I mean, I was depressed about everything. I didn't eat. I couldn't eat. You know, how many people know if you don't eat, you're going to get depressed? If you don't eat nutritiously, you will get depression. You'll get down. And living in an alcoholic home in poverty, that's depression. You wonder why some people were mad. I think about a lot of people who've been mad in the ghetto and some of the ghettos in this town. They're mad because that's depression is coming out. They're angry. And depression will get people. And so, let me just close out here. I know it's a few minutes past. Let me just give me a couple more minutes. Unemployment or underemployment, or you're working but you're not getting paid for what you need. You know, there's people who said there's working poor. There's people who have three jobs and they still don't make it. Still don't make it. The working poor, they call it today. People work at all these jobs and they can't get over. They're so depressed. They're unhappy. They've got to work three jobs. Why do I have to work three jobs? Why can't I go walk in the park and have a good time? Well, sell one car. One thing about it. That's why some people, you walk, you see, I tell my wife, you see some bums out there. They're laughing away, sitting on a, somewhere, just laughing away. They don't have to pay any mortgage. Everybody feeds me. I just go down to the wherever over there. They feed me over there every day. So people like that have wrong. So there's so much. It affects every area of your life. So many things about depression. I'm going to have to go through skip all this stuff. It's a 5-part series. I can't deal. I'm depressed right now. I can't deal with this. Let me close with this thing here. So it says, a merry heart does good like medicine. You know what? You need to find a way to cheer yourself up. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine. Find something to make you happy. Just go and just get, find some. When I would happen to me, I would find Groucho Marx movies and I watch them all day long, laugh. Just laugh. Have a great time. Just watch old movies and laugh. Recognize that depression is a condition that you can actually overcome. You can overcome it. Don't think of it as a dismal thing that you can never overcome. Recognize you can overcome it. Live positively. And eat right. Have a diet that can help it. Have adequate sleep. Regular hours, not just irregular hours. Get some fresh air. Exercise. Those are different things. Take a bath. Listen to some nice music. Make some positive decisions for yourself. Clean your closet. Take your clothes over to TC. My wife's digging in my closet all the time. I said, you can't take that. I thought I'd take this away. These are too small for you. They're not small. I'm going to lose weight. How many people are just losing that battle? Protect your emotions by getting some new attitudes. Protect your mind. Think right. How did Jesus deal with depression? We're going to teach that some other time. You can't bear it now. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. Everybody say, depression is temporary. So I can do something about it. Right now. So say, Father, lift your hand, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. I give you my whole spirit, my soul and body. Thank you for showing me the way out of what I'm experiencing. Said depression must go. Joy must come. Thank you, Father, for helping me overcome depression. Depression is no more a problem in my life. I'm going to live good. I'm going to live purposely. I'm going to do something good for myself today. I'm going to help somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Those of you that have been away from God, you can just turn to the Lord and say, Father, I want to thank you for saving me. Thank you for my life. Those of you watching online, if you say a prayer, a simple prayer of salvation, asking Jesus to come in your life, God will change you. So say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come in my life. Save me. I thank you right now. You said that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I believe right now I'm saved.